Hello there, and this is Sheila Grace Harvey, and this is the Relationship Revelations time when you can come in and learn more about what is it that could make your life a little easier, because that's really what it comes down to. How can you come into greater loving? How can you make your life easier? How can you feel more fulfilled? And, you know, those are words that sound wonderful to say, and it all sounds like, isn't that a wonderful thing to kind of aspire to? But more importantly, you know, I want to give you some practical tools that can make it a little easier for you to attain some of these things. Because, you know, anything that's just word level often just, it's great, but at the end of the day, what you want to know is, how can I do this? For some of the things that I was looking at talking to today, I was sitting down reading the paper today, and I very rarely do that, I have to confess. My neighbor goes away and I bring the paper in, and that's when I read it. Mostly I never buy it because I just find that sometimes just an overwhelming amount of things going on in the world, it can be really, really difficult sometimes to sort of think, well, there's just so much going on. It can disturb us. I remember a little while back I had a lot of time on my hands, and I was on the internet. I was reading lots of political books, and, you know, when you start looking into things like, you know, all the vaccinations and all the deaths that come from that, and then you think about the wars and the earthquakes and the current tornadoes that we're having at the moment, and then, you know, not using cell phones because they cause brain cancer and the mercury and filling, all these different things that go in the body. I remember just getting to a place I felt so depressed, and I'm thinking, what am I doing to myself? I am just focusing so much because there's a fascination to know all of this stuff. Of course, the negative power's job is to keep us fascinated into the world. And most people go, well, how can there be a God if all of this stuff is going on? But, of course, God's not doing it. We are. We all have choices of the things that we do in our lives and some of the pathways we take and some of the things that we get into, just like we have a simple choice. Where are we focusing our attention? Are we focusing it on everything that we think is wrong? And then is it wrong? Because, basically, if we're all here for our karmic lessons, then maybe this is just part of the path for each of us. Can we do something about it? Yeah, I think in many cases we often can. Even if it's simple, and this is what I do with a lot of this information, just send the light for the highest good. Surround, fill you, and protect yourself with the light for the highest good, and you can just send the light. So on the odd times that I do watch the news, and I have to tell you, I don't watch it a lot. I don't read a lot of newspapers. I don't go into a lot of the stuff on the internet. It's good to be a little informed. However, it's called balance. And for me, it's like, yes, there is a lot going on in the world. What can I do? Well, sending the light is a huge thing. The light cannot go where it's not invited. And we can all invite that light in. We can be ministers. We can be those that serve by holding our peace so that we can send that light to others. If we're in a disturbance, if we're concerned, if we're worried, then often we may send that with the light. So there are a couple of suggestions here. If you're feeling disturbed, you can ask, always make sure you ask for the light for the highest good. And if you really feel that you're kind of out of balance and you think, oh, I don't, you know, maybe I'm not really in my peace and loving here, then you can do it by way of the Christ. You ask the Christ to send that light and love for the highest good to whatever situation that is. So whether we're sending it to New Orleans, whether we're sending it to other trouble spots in the world, whether we're sending it to our friends, our neighbors, our families, our co-workers, that's a little something that we can do, and it can make a difference. One of the things that I think often can affect us, and this really is how we relate to our health, and that is that so often, you know, we eat things that we know aren't really great for us. You know, we might not be exercising, even if it's just getting out and walking every day. And I think we're all guilty. I'm guilty. I put my hand up there because I could be doing more to get my body healthy. But we look at, there's so much information that we know about junk food, a lot of the things that we do. And yet, do we pay heed? So along with what are we focusing on, what are we doing that doesn't work for us? Like, well, what can we do differently? Are you willing to have your life work for you? Are you willing to do things differently? You know, if you look at our body as being a temple of the soul, then how are you looking after your temple of the soul? It's a really good question, and it's a really good time to reflect on what more can all of us be doing. Because when we are healthy, when we are balanced, when we are at peace, then we're really affecting a lot of people around us with that. When we hold the light, others get that. We don't have to say anything. It's not about converting the world. It's about each and every one of us coming into that loving space and holding, so that when people come around and they just go, I don't know what it is about you, but I really like being around you. Or I always feel better when I talk to you. Or I always feel more at peace when I've been around you. And we are all the instruments of God. We're all here on the planet to do our part. And sometimes it can come down to, what are you putting in your mouth? And the reason why I'm talking about that is because, you know, there is so much now in food, whether it's, you know, a lot of chemicals. They put a lot of salt, a lot of sugar. I don't know if any of you have been watching Jamie Oliver, who's a wonderful chef from England, who has done a tremendous amount to assist a lot of unemployed people and train them how to be chefs so that they can have a really good life in the restaurant business. And he's done amazing things. And a program that he's doing at the moment, which you may have seen because I'm spending time in New Zealand at the moment, and we tend to get programs a little bit later here. But he's looking at how do they raise chickens? What do they put into our food? Because when I was growing up, food was exactly what it was. It was very little tinned food and frozen food. It was mostly we ate fresh, local food. But now, of course, there's tremendous chemicals. There's salt, sugar, and then they're taking parts of animals and chickens and things that we would never eat. And what they're doing is mulching this down and creating food out of it, you know, usually the fried stuff because it's a way to kind of hide the taste. But they need to put a lot of things in additional, things that we'd normally not eat. So, you know, we have to start taking really greater responsibility in a way for what we're doing in our lives, what we put into our mouths, what we also say, put out of our mouths is another way of looking at things as well. And just what do we hold in our minds? What do we say in terms of negativity that ends up us getting into those negative emotions, and then we feel really terrible, and then we're out of balance, and we get angry and upset? So it's like we do have choices, and some of the things are a little harder to deal with than others. For instance, we deal with a lot of pollution in the atmosphere, just even exhaust fumes. And it's very easy to say, well, we can all do our part and walk more or bicycle more or not use the car as much, although I do have a feeling that the price of petrol and gas in the States, you know, will make a tremendous difference. I'm already noticing here in Wellington, where I am, how people are making different choices in terms of they may do 3 or 4 or 5 different things on a trip when they go out in the car, instead of going out 3 or 4 times. It's like, because the cost of the petrol is now such that it's hurting. And when things hurt, people make a difference. The difficulty, of course, is a lot of things we don't know that they're hurting us. Because if we eat a lot of junk food, if we do a lot of things that are negative, we may not notice that immediately. The effects can be devastating to us 10, 15, 20 years down the line. But because so many of us are a kind of an immediate society, well, we don't think about down the line. I mean, most of us in my era growing up, you know, we've had an amazing life, but you know, talk about providing for our old age. I mean, most of us never thought we were going to get old. You don't think about that when you're, you know, in your teens, when you're in your 20s and your 30s and things. You don't think about those things. And, you know, I think that there is a balance. I would like to say I don't. I've seen people who spend their whole lives on security for the future, and I think that's a life not lived. And then if you get the other extreme where you don't think about it at all, but somewhere in there, you know, is there any kind of balance whereby you can live your life and still have that level of, you know, taking care of ourselves for later, because, you know, the laters do show up. Not, well, we don't think they are, but they do show up. So, you know, maybe dealing with little things like around the household. I'm just kind of moving around here as I think about things like, you know, the chemicals now that we have, even just under our sink, in terms of cleaning, that are absolutely lethal. And, you know, I go back to my, with my mother's day, and, you know, they used to use, I think I used vinegar, methylated spirits occasionally, baking powder, lemons. So everything was was really natural. You know, they used polish. It was always beeswax. Everything was natural. So it's like we've gotten away from the basics. We've gotten away from the simplicity of life. We've gotten away because somewhere along the line we have just gotten so caught up in the material world. And everything is about how much money you have, what position you have. These major companies are basically running on how much more money can we make. They don't care that we get sick. That's better for business. They're not trying to cure cancer. They want to keep us on drugs. So there's a lot of opportunities here to really kind of start looking at our lives and saying, okay, what really is important? So getting back to the simplicity. Okay, what are we going to do? First of all, the important thing is to get clear about what you want. Without clarity of purpose, you know, it's like getting in a car and running all over the place because you don't have a destination in mind. So first of all, you plan. Take some time to sit down and just, what would I like? Not what don't I want? Although sometimes looking at what you don't want means that you can say, okay, if I don't want that, if I was to put that in, what do I want? How would I phrase that? So that you can start, so instead of saying, you know, I don't want to eat junk food, you want to eat healthily. I don't want to be unfit. I would like to be fit with energy and vitality. So you start looking at what it is that you would like to create for yourself. And it's a really good idea to even write these things down because it's easy to forget them because, you know, we all get inspired at various times, whether we're listening to somebody, we read a book. But one of the things I find is that we do need to act on the information unless we actually follow it through. It's just a lovely idea. So in order to have your life be different and for you to be healthier and for you to focus on having other things that allow you to live a life of greater freedom and fulfillment, then it's looking at the areas of your life that aren't working, what doesn't make you happy, and saying, okay, I want to be happy, I'd like to be fulfilled, I'd like more peace in my life, I want more loving in my life. Okay, now what can I do? So now you have some clear intentions. It could be financial abundance. If you're in debt, then maybe what you're looking for is financial abundance. And it's also important to just kind of listen a lot of the times to the things that you say to yourself, because one of the things I found myself a few years ago, I had a lot of problems with my back, a lot of pain, was often getting adjustments and different work done on it, some wonderful, wonderful people that I worked with. And I was aware of the fact that I had to be careful because of my back. Now, being careful because of my back is a great way to look at it. However, when I was in pain, I found myself focusing on, oh, I've got to watch it. No, I can't do that because my back hurts. Oh, no, I can't do this. Watching what I was doing, but doing it in a way where I was still pointing up what I didn't want. And I kept focusing, oh, I've got a bad back. And this went on for such for a long time, and then I suddenly got it. I suddenly one day had this big aha moment, which was like, hang on a second, I'm promoting a bed back. I'm absolutely promoting it. Now, it seems really simple when you hear it, but the truth of the matter is, in our minds, we do things so automatically, we're not often consciously aware of what we're continually saying to ourselves. And as soon as I caught it, I was then able to change it. And from then onwards, I started saying how strong my back was, how wonderful it was that it was supporting me so beautifully. And even, no matter how I felt, this was irrelevant of how I was feeling, irrelevant of whether my back was in pain or not. I still promoted my back being healthy, getting better every day, getting stronger all the time, feeling much better in myself, being grateful for the support my back was giving me, and loving my back for the wonderful job it was doing. And I have to tell you, it can take quite a shift from something that seems innocuous. However, it isn't innocuous, because what we're doing is constantly giving ourselves to go into a direction that we don't want to go. Focus on what you do want, because that will be really important to making shifts. So by sitting down and what I call the blueprint for success, which is putting all the things you would like on it, or a mind map, or just a list of things that you know you want, and that brings your little basic self, which is the part that goes out and helps create these things, it actually helps that part to get clarity. And by writing it down, it kind of goes, oh, gosh, you know, this must be serious. We must mean this. We're writing this down. Because how many ideas do we have that we get all gung-ho about and then we forget about? We often do that. So it's, to me, it's like, okay, if I'm going to do something, let me write it down. Let me have something that I can keep referring to. It would be great to have a look at it every day and just reaffirm it, what it is that you're actually doing. Another instance I found myself a few years ago when I was really in desperate financial straits, and I remember that, you know, every time the rent was due, it was like I would go into this absolute panic and I'd go, oh my God, I don't have the money to pay the rent. Oh, where am I going to get this money from to pay the rent? And again, I had this aha moment. If I keep affirming not being able to pay the rent, that is my reality, that's what I'm going to create. And again, when I got it, I went, oh, it's so simple when you get it. Money always comes in easily to pay the rent. Life, God always supports me to take care of all my bills and the rent, and it always comes in ahead of when I need it. Because how many of us have that, what's that lovely expression, you're just one step away from the poorhouse? Well, if I'm going to be a step away from anything, I want to be a step away from the rich house. Because why wouldn't we want to affirm in our heads something that will support us, that we win, that will assist us to feel better about ourselves? So, again, focus on what you want. So with your body, you might want vitality, more energy. You might want to release excess weight. Whatever it is, you know, a more toned body, whatever it is that you would like, you know, you can have what you want. The other things to look at also is, you know, the media. That's another area where there is a lot of lies and misinformation. How much are you reading the news and looking at newspapers and going on the internet and doing a lot of information? Now, I think it's great to be informed, but again, it's imbalance. How to be in balance, I mean, that's what we're looking at. So that if it starts disturbing you, then maybe you need to back off a little and just remember, call in the light, ask the Christ to send the light for the highest good. And in fact, why don't we just do that right now, this moment? Let's just ask for the light of the Christ, the Holy Spirit, to be with us all right this minute. And we're just going to ask for the light for ourselves, and we're going to give it to ourselves via the Christ, because the Christ knows what we want. We're going to ask Christ that that you bring that light and love and assist us to balance, heal ourselves for the highest good of all concerned. We're also going to ask that light to go to all those places around the world where there's discord, where there's disharmony, where there's famine, where there's war. And Christ, you know in our heart, our intent is for the loving, the light, the support to go to these areas so that that which can be lifted can be done so under grace for the highest good of all. Sending the light there for healing, cleansing, releasing, rejuvenation. And that all those that are in distress get the support and the loving that they need. And we also send the light around the planet for healing for everyone. The Christ can do this. The Christ is so huge and magnificent. The Christ can touch to everyone on this planet. And touch to all those that are in soul, so that all may be lifted, all may be given an opportunity for greater healing, all may be given an opportunity to come into wonderful grace. Lift our burdens, Christ, at this time. Lift our heavy hearts. And Father, we just know that you know what's in our heart to assist us, each and every one of us, to step up in ourselves, to step up into greater loving, to step up into greater taking care of our bodies, our temples of soul, that we step up into greater responsibility for ourselves so that we are not a burden on others, that we can assist others from the overflow, to step up to any areas in our lives where we need to step forward more. And Christ, we just ask at this time that if there is anything that any of us need, and you know what that is, for our growth, for our upliftment, that you bring that forward to each and every one of us, opening our hearts more so that we're available to your loving, to your light. And we are always, always grateful for your presence, for your loving, for your light, and for your forgiveness. And we're grateful that we always have another opportunity to do something in a way that supports us more, in a way that's more loving, in a way that takes care of ourselves in a greater way. And we thank you for all you do for us all. And so it is. So, and, you know, when we call in the light, it can be a 2-second thing. It doesn't always have to be a long prayer. But I just felt like I just wanted us to do that so that we could, you know, just really focus on coming into a whole new place. You know, if this was it right now and this was the end of your life, I mean, would you have regrets? I mean, what are the things that you may have left undone, or are the things that you would like to have done, said to people, whatever? And it's like, let's keep coming in each moment right now and saying those things to people. Let's tell people that we love them, that we appreciate them, that we care about them. It's really important. Can we be of service to somebody at this time? Is there somebody who needs just a kind word? And, you know, I'm a person that smiles at people all the time. I think I've mentioned before, I'm always smiling and chatting to little kids in supermarkets and things. But, you know, I see people walking down the street and so many people walking and they look so miserable. And I just smile and say hello. And it's like, how do we know that that soul just didn't need something at that moment? And that smile made the difference to their day. We can never know that, but sometimes being of service isn't necessarily being a Mother Teresa. Though God bless the fact that we've had a Mother Teresa and that there are people on the planet who are just of such amazing service that it's, you know, it's quite awe-inspiring. For many of us, that may be not where we're at. But, you know, we can smile at somebody. We can help somebody with a little bit of shopping, or we can do little things for people. Let them know they're loved. It may be phoning people. I love getting on the phone and talking to people. And it's something that I've always done. I much prefer it to getting on an email, which is a nice way to stay in touch, but it's a lot more impersonal. I love getting on the phone and saying hi to people and how you're doing and just staying in touch. I think it's a lovely thing to do. So look at the little things you can do. Don't necessarily think everything has to be huge, difficult. It can be just a little thing. It can be an appeal on television and you go into your local bank and you might only give them a dollar because that's all you can do right now, or $10 or $20, whatever. It's, you know, it's not about the amount. It's about your contribution and you making a difference, because if enough people do it, it has an enormous impact. So sometimes it's the little things done consistently that can make an enormous difference. So in terms of being clear about what it is that we want, and, you know, I was reflecting a little bit today about growing up, and I was thinking, you know, in life, are you exactly where you thought you were going to be? Because when I think of my life growing up, I mean, I'm not at all where I thought I would be. Not that that's a negative thing, because I'm doing the things that I love doing. However, I remember when I was very young, I was going to be the ballerina. I just loved ballet. Of course, I grew a little bit too tall for ballet, but that was all right. So I, in fact, I think I gave it up when we moved. I think I must have been about 10 because I moved around a lot with my father's job. And then I wanted to be a hairdresser. I think my parents were like, oh my goodness, you know, there's this very bright child. Not that hairdressers aren't bright, I don't want to ever give that impression, but it was like, why would she want to be a hairdresser, you know, when she, there's so many opportunities open. Anyway, I grew out of that phase fairly quickly, but then I was going to be an actress. And I was going to go to drama school, which in fact I did. And from about the age of about 12, 13, I was going to be the actress. I mean, I practiced being on the, there was a show in England called Michael Parkinson, and I was always in the mirror, being interviewed on that show constantly. And then it was, of course, accepting my Oscar. I had my Oscar speech well and truly down, because that was what I was going to do. I was going to be an actress. And then I did go to drama school and did some repertory theatre, weekly repertory theatre, and I did some small TV parts. And then I ended up with an actor, and I ended up giving it up. Now, the interesting thing was I probably gave it up because I didn't feel confident enough around somebody else who I thought was really good, and didn't realize for a long time that that person was undermining me because they didn't want competition, because I probably would have been a very good actress. In fact, from what I've done, I am a good actress. Not would have been, I am a good actress. So I basically gave that up, and I ended up doing a few little jobs, and then I ended up really being in business. And in a business whereby I was responsible for huge numbers of staff and high turnover and was exceptionally good at what I did. And yet it is funny that because now I end up doing like radio and television and doing a lot of seminars, so in many respects, it's not acting as in working with a script, although I suppose you could say I'm kind of working God's script or Christ's script, but it's not quite the same as, well, it's slightly different. I don't get my script too often ahead of time. Often it shows up often while I'm doing it, and sometimes just a little bit ahead of time. So there is quite a lot of level of trust involved here. Whereas, of course, with a script, when you're acting, of course, you get to rehearse and rehearse and rehearse and rehearse. But I guess the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing now is when I used to do a lot of live interviews on television and radio, I loved it. To me, being live was much more interesting than ever doing a TV program where we had to pre-record, which meant if you didn't get it right, you could keep redoing it. So I've always liked that element of nowness and liveness. So the good news is that I'm very content and I'm very happy and I feel very fulfilled in what I'm doing. But I wonder, but I've had times when I haven't been. And I think that when we look back and we think we have a lot of dreams, a lot of aspirations, and then what is it that actually takes us away from those things? And how many people get bogged down with, you know, maybe families and work and ambition and needing more money and needing bigger houses and another car. And, you know, sometimes we can get so wrapped up in what we need and want that we sometimes lose sight of it, of who are we? What are we focusing on? What do we really want? What is it inside that we really want? And the truth is, without the greater levels of loving inside of us, then no matter what we have, it'll never be enough. So when you look at your life, you may have a lot of material things, and you may not, but, you know, a lot of people really feel that they need a lot in their lives. And yet very often we can simplify our lives and have a lot less and still be extremely happy. So I think it's a good idea to kind of look at what makes you happy, what gives you that fulfillment, what makes you feel good about yourself. How do you love yourself? How do you take care of yourself? And often it's in a very basic, kind way. It doesn't have to be a lot of things. So look at what is it that you would like? Because to me, when we're connected to the Christ, when we're in that loving where we know that God absolutely, totally loves us, that the Christ loves us, that we are forgiven, that we are worthy, then we don't have to have a lot of things around us to make us feel better. But what are we focusing on? Are we focusing on the lack because we don't have certain things that we think we should have? Or are we focusing on the lovely things around us? Because often it's the little things. I have this wonderful wall hanging, which I got given to me in one of the trainings that MSIA does called Living in Grace. Happens to be my favorite training. One of the reasons I think that I ended up changing my middle name to Grace is I just think grace is just the most beautiful gift that we get given from Spirit. And it's this beautiful wall hanging that has peace on it, happiness, prosperity, and freedom. And, you know, it just gives me such joy. Just a simple little thing, probably cost a couple of $100s, that it was a gift. But I get a lot of pleasure out of it. And it just happens to go beautifully in this little apartment that I'm in at the moment. And it just goes beautifully. So I get a lot of pleasure out of that. I get a lot of pleasure out of next door's cat that comes in and spends a lot of time with me. That, well, I was going to say costs me nothing, but in fact I do feed her. I must admit I'm a little bit of a sucker. She cries a lot and I give her a little bit of tuna, but it probably costs me $3 a week. So, you know, not exactly on the expensive side, but she just comes in and cuddles up and she's loving and then she wants to play and she's such fun. I mean, you know, there are a lot of things in life that give us a lot of pleasure. today we've been having some terrible weather here in Wellington. Windy, rainy, bitterly cold. And today I woke up and the sun was shining and the sky was blue and, oh, you know, it's just magnificent. You know, it's like, and I was doing a meditation this morning and this bird was singing and it just was the most magnificent song. Just this one little bird singing. And it just brought such a joy to me. So, you know, little things can make a huge difference. It really, really can make an enormous difference. So look at the things that bring you joy. Look at the things that bring you happiness. What makes you feel good? Sometimes it's thinking about a particular person. For instance, for me, one of the things that always connects me to my loving and my joy, no matter how I'm feeling, is to think about my spiritual teacher, John Roger. Because, you know, I have been working with this man on a conscious level for, 26, 27 years. My first conscious awareness of connecting with John Roger was I was drowning in a swimming pool and he dived in and got me out. And that was so true of my life. I had a lot of material things. I owned my own house. Had lots of money, could do lots of trips, but I was drowning. I was drowning because I wasn't feeling the loving. I was closed down. I was drowning. So, to me, the wisdom that I have heard from him over the years, and the loving and the support and the demonstration of service to so many of us, and devotion to spirit is just incredible. And following in his footsteps is John Morton, who is also from MSIA and is actually going to be my guest next week on the show, talking a little bit about his book, The Blessings Book, which is absolutely beautiful. And, you know, these are people that I look at and look up to because they kind of, I feel like they're down the road from me. They're not setting themselves up above me, but they're down the road a little ways. It's a dark road. It's got a lot of potholes in it, and they're shining this big lamp, and I'm watching where they're going, and I'm following, because each of us has to have our own pathway back to God. There's lots of ways home to God. We have to do it. Nobody can do it for us. Nobody can give us our spiritual promise. Somebody could give us $1 million, but they can't give us a spiritual promise. That's something each of us needs to do for ourselves. But the beauty of it is we can all do it ourselves. God never gives us anything that God can't handle. I'd remember that because God doesn't give us anything that God can't handle. And often we get into our dilemmas and our upsets and our angers and our tempers and everything. And, you know, when you really stop and look at it, what's really going on? Often not a lot. When you look at what are the facts, what's really, really going on? What are the facts? Look at what's the truth. Because often we react to things, maybe because we have addictive, reactive patterns. Maybe we have addictive patterns of not listening. You know, one of the things I love is, I think it might have even been John Roger talked about, listening is one of the highest forms of loving. Because when we really, really listen to somebody, it's like our loving goes out and wraps a safe space around us. And I just thought, gosh, isn't that lovely? So that's another way that we can be of a gift to somebody else, is just listen to them. Sometimes people just need to offload and they just want to be heard. That's a form of loving. Can we love ourselves? Can we listen to what we want inside of ourselves? Because sometimes we don't listen. Can we go in and spend some time meditating in quiet contemplation? Do you spend time alone? Are you a person that has to have the radio on, has to have the television on? to have the computer on. How much time do you spend with yourself? Because quite honestly, if you don't spend time with yourself, how can you be friends with you? You can't be friends with you if you never spend time with them. I mean, how have you developed friendships with people who are close to you? Because you spend time with them, you do things with them, you have fun with them, you go through the good times, the bad times, you're there, you listen, you support. Do you do that for yourself? As someone once said, if we talk to ourselves, if we talk to our friends the same way that we talk to ourselves, we'd never have any friends. And that is so true. We judge ourselves. We give ourselves a hard time. We put ourselves down. Well, John Morton always said a lovely thing. He said, put yourself up. And I like that. Put yourself up. Keep those blessing field, keep the blessing field up. Know you deserve that. And, you know, we're influenced a lot. Things like when we're growing up, our parents have influenced us. I mean, we're a conglomeration of so many things. And I love some of the things. I mean, my Auntie Jessie, I was born in the north of England, and my Auntie Jessie, you know, was wonderful. She never understood how I survived my sister, who apparently dropped me on my head and threw me down the stairs and did terrible things to me. She was jealous of me from the day I was born, and she took her displeasure out on me. And my Auntie Jessie used to go, "Oh, E," she said, "we don't know how you survived with your stew." So my sister Susan, who used to be really shocking to them, she used to also, I remember her saying things like, "Oh, men," she said, "you can't trust them." And I mean, there's so many little things that we grow up with. My father used to say, "Life was tough." Yeah, life's tough. Money doesn't grow on trees. And you've made your bed, now you can lie on it. You know, and if you can't do something well, don't do it at all. It can take you anywhere the second time to apologize. You know, and little children should be seen and not heard. I'm sure some of these are probably very familiar to some of you, and you probably had your own expressions and things that you grew up with. And it's like, you know, when we're little, we just take all this stuff in on board, take it all in. And most of it isn't true. You know, we take something in that somebody told us, then we make it a truth by believing it. We don't have to believe everything. You know, one of the joys for me of having lived in different countries, growing up in England was, in my mind, very quite restrictive in as much as it was kind of, a lot of that seen and not be heard. And I remember at school, I went to a high school and used to get demerit points for talking in the corridor. And I was always getting demerit points. They hated me for that because I used to chat. I wanted to talk. So, I mean, I unfortunately always got caught. So there's all these demerit points, you know, and our house never used to win. The school was divided into like four houses, and you got merit and demerit points, and I think you got a shield at the end of it, which was not exactly the biggest incentive as far as I was concerned. However, some people took it very seriously, or as we used to say in England, you'd say things like, "terribly serious," you know. I love the way English do. I'm digressing here, but don't you love the English? I mean, I am English, but I don't feel English anymore. When you say something is awfully nice, and you put like a real negative with a positive, frightfully good. That's fun. Anyway, that's just a little aside. I was just having a little moment there. I've been doing a lot around England at the moment. I've noticed I'm watching a lot of English programs on UK TV and stuff, and must be going back and having a little reminiscent moment in time. But anyway, talking about a lot of this stuff from our childhood, really the important thing is, despite what we've been told, despite things that we've done in our lives, despite where we find our circumstances and situation right this minute, we can shift. And the way that I know that works for me is to call on God, Christ, Spirit, universal loving, whatever works for you. Whatever works for you, if it's Allah, whatever works for you, to me, there is only one God of everything. There is one God over this whole universe. And we can call them all the different names. And this God, to me, is enormous. It's not a small God. A lot of people have too small a God, you know, where they think that there's hell and damnation and brimstone and all of this. That doesn't work for me at all. Because to me, God is just this huge, all-encompassing, all-loving, loving me no matter what. Doesn't condone necessarily, doesn't maybe not have an opinion, but loves me no matter what. So it's time for all of us, and this is something that I came to a conclusion some time ago, and that was, how can I love myself like God loves me? How can I get to that place of loving myself enough no matter what? Yeah, so I've got more weight on than I would really like in my body. So forgive myself. I'm still lovable. Yeah, I've closed my heart down. I can open it one more time. Yeah, you know, I'd like my life to be different. But you know what? I'm grateful for where I am right now and who I am. We have a lot of opportunities to come into greater blessings. But the loving and the blessings cannot occupy the same space as judgment, negativity, depression, whatever. Can't occupy that place. So if we want to be in a more loving space, we need to hold the loving. We want that gift, the grace of God, which we don't even have to earn. It's given to us freely. We have to be open to receiving it. We have to be open to the loving to come into our hearts, to heal us, to assist us into coming into that wholeness that we really are. So in a lot of things we've been talking about, there's a lot of things out there that can easily take us off track if we go that way, but we have a choice. What is it you would like for yourself? So going through some of those things again, we can focus on what we want by doing a blueprint. And you can do that by looking at what you want in your physical body, with your health, with your work, with your home environment, with your social life, with the things that you can have fun and adventure and social things. What are the fun things you want to do? And what are some of the things that may support you? I mean, one of the reasons, I love doing work with people because I just love it when somebody really gets that there is a different way to do something that is more on purpose for them. When people come into a greater purpose and line that up with their hearts and enjoy and live their lives in a more loving way, we all have that choice. So look at all the things that you would like. And one of the things I do is I still go with my spiritual teachers and do a lot of workshops. I continually do things. A little, you know, MSIA seminar every week at my home because it supports me. I meditate every day because that supports me. Getting out and doing some walking, that supports me. Doing the things that support us, that is a key. Because the more we focus on those things, the better we'll feel. Just walking can lift depression, can move things around the body and help shunt negativity out. So it's like using everything that we have. And funnily enough, one of the three guidelines in MSIA, and I thought I'd just share them with you because they're just, that's all there is, three guidelines, which I think is amazing, really. But they're so simple, but incredibly effective. And that is, don't hurt yourself and don't hurt others. Take care of yourself so you can take care of others. And use everything for your upliftment, growth, and learning. That's amazing. See, we probably are less inclined to hurt others, but we'll judge and hurt ourselves. We'll often take care of everybody else, especially a mother with children and a families, but don't take care of ourselves, which starts first because we want to be giving from our overflow. not giving so much that we're depleted, and then we get sick and we need taking care of. And using everything to uplift us, to learn from, and to grow. That's just very, very simple, but really great way to live our lives. So we do our blueprint. We can do affirmations. And I find affirmations valuable for me to just refocus where I'm going. So if I'm focusing on, oh my goodness, I can't pay the rent, then deflect. Remember the 60-second deflect button we have? And then think of what else we could say. God brings in everything in its perfect timing and takes care of everything, including my bills and my rent. Or large amounts of money come to be easily under grace for the highest good of all concerned. Just think of the things that support you. If you've just eaten something that you know is something like you trying to stay off sugar and you've just eaten something with an enormous amount of sugar in it and you go, oh God, why'd I do that? Because now I'll get fat. Deflect. I am learning how to eat in a way that really supports and loves my body. And by focusing on an affirmation, it just takes me away from giving my mind an opportunity to get into any more negative things. So focus on what you want. Forgiveness. Again, I forgive myself for judging myself, for being hard on myself, for eating things that I think aren't good for me. I forgive myself for judging myself, for not doing with my life what I think I could be doing. I forgive myself for judging myself, for being unhealthy and not exercising more. I forgive myself for judging myself, for being unloving and unkind to myself. Just remember, I forgive myself for judging myself, and whatever that is, wonderful, wonderful thing to do every night before you go to bed. And if this kind of feels a little bit repetitive, if you've listened to me before, look, honestly, I just don't think you can do it. None of us can do enough forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of those things that the more we do, the better we feel. So, and sometimes with forgiveness, it's good because things will pop up that we thought we might have let go of and we haven't. And you know you've forgiven when you've forgotten, when you don't longer think about it. It's gone. It's no longer in your memory, in your conscious awareness. It's gone. So maybe, you know, look at some of the things that you do that support you. Maybe, are you getting enough sleep? Just something as simple as sleep. Because when you go to sleep, it is the time that the soul can leave the body. It can just tap into that pure energy and light. And then when that soul comes back into the body again, you just feel so much better, so much more energized, which is often why when you wake up in the morning, you often feel better. If you have a problem or something that's disturbing you, ask before you go to bed, after you've done your forgiveness. I would just say, you know what, Christ, could you please help me with this information? Or God, or whoever you want to pray to, please, I need an answer. How can I create more money so that I can take better care of myself? How can I create better health for myself? What can I do to get on better with some people in my family? Ask for help. Ask inside. Help me to do this. Help me bring forward the information that I need. Bring forward the inspiration to let me know how to live my life in a more fulfilling, loving way. Ask. It's that old thing in the Bible, ask and it shall be given. You receive not because you ask not. So it's time to ask more for what you want. It's time to come back into greater loving. It's time for you to have what you deserve. And there are three things that I've always heard JR say. Out of God comes all things. God loves all of its creation, and not one soul will be lost. And you know what? that includes you. So take care. Love yourself enough so that you can come back into your loving heart. Let go of your past. Come right present. Ask for what you want and see what miracles show up for you. God bless you and Be Rouge Be Shan.